Hey everyone.
All good.
Well, good evening, and I'm sorry it's got late, but thank you for coming. Now, before we start the meeting proper on the agenda, has anybody got any questions that are not on the agenda?
I just need the agenda sent to me again, please. Sorry.
Okay.
That's on its way over, darling.
Sorry, Brian. I can't hear anything. Can you?
Who said that?
Oh, can't hear nothing.
But
I can't hear anything.
Oh, hang on, I better mute Dave. He's,
Kevin?
I can hear him very clearly.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm just asking about the signage to the toilets. You've got new toilets in the car park.
Yeah.
But you need signs where the public convenience signs are currently, redirecting people to the toilets. Yeah.
I thought a couple of strategic places could, at least one could be the council's notice board on the corner of Lily's. And then perhaps one along.
Can you hear me? Am I?
Well, I think you need to put them where the public toilet signs are now.
Well, up on the
post outside the CB Hotel, redirecting people.
Because there's also two on the corner of Pier Road.
Yeah, and then one by the car park itself, showing people.
I don't think anyone's going to take any notice of me, do you?
Now we can hear you.
Hear you. There you go.
I keep muting him, and he keeps unmuting himself and talking over us.
That's all I got.
I can't hear anything.
Right. I'm going to put Dave in the waiting room because he just keeps talking over us, unfortunately.
Yeah, but can he hear us, Brian?
No, he's saying he can't. All he does is just keeps interrupting us, saying, I can't hear anything.
It's because he's gone to his chalet and the internet's not working that far from the house, I expect. Okay.
Right, so putting up some temporary signs for the temporary toilets. Okay, thank you.
Barry Elliott, you've muted your mic.
Sorry about that.
I can hear you now, thank you.
Okay, so apologies for absence, there aren't any. Has anybody got any declarations of interest?
No.
Okay.
If I pick anything up along the way, I'll let you know, but I don't think I have.
Okay, thank you, Diane.
No, nothing from me, Barry.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Right, so approve the minutes of the last meeting held on the 18th of May.
All good.
Okay.
I'll propose.
You're proposing it, Dave? Seconder?
Yep.
I'll second them.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't say, did everyone vote, Barry? Sorry.
No.
I don't think we did, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Good job you're here, Brian.
Yeah. And Sally's done a thumbs up virtually. Thank you, that's very good. Brilliant, thank you.
Many much then. And it's over to you, Brian.
Okay, yeah, so... The Isle of Wight Council has secured some funding to mark 2 metre spaces and introduce traffic reflectors in high streets around some of the towns on the island. And this is to give the public confidence that they can remain a safe distance while shopping under the new regulations that have been kicking in today. At the moment, only major towns are in the first phase for funding, and we don't count as a major town, but we are in the long list. But in the meantime, we are looking at investigating our own way ahead with that and actually putting some markings of our own down. So rather than just waiting for the Isle of Wight Council to approach us in the distant future, we are actually going to try and do something.
Is it, Brian?
Sorry?
This is our it.
Oh, yes, there you go. Thank you very much, Councillor Elliott. That is our template for our circle. So there we go. That's a real thing, that. Big stores have contacted the parish council, actually, to say, really, it's a request to local residents to please keep using the store, and use it as regularly as possible in person, but please can people stop bringing up with multiple very small orders, which basically are making them lose money. They were showing me examples where people would more than once a week email them, and one day they might say, can I have a loaf of bread? And then the next day they might say, can I have a bag of cat litter? And things like that. And if they keep delivering along those lines, they're basically going to go out of business, and they just want us to know that they do want to stay here for us. They do want to stay profitable, but we're going to have to be careful in the way in which we use it.
Yeah. Hey, can we propagate that around the parish then, so that
well,
people know?
Yeah, one of the things is we can put a notice on Nextdoor. We can put stuff on our website and share it. So things like that.
Is Charles considering a minimum order, do you think?
He didn't say he wanted to go that far.
Okay.
I spoke to him about it. But it's just this thing of, you do see, apparently there are persistent people who understandably remember, maybe if they were going in person, it's not a problem because they'd go back every couple of days, but they're treating it, they're a delivery service, which is free, a bit like just, yeah. So, and it's really difficult for them.
Okay. Yeah. Excuse me. Could you include the shop, village shop in that as well?
Are you getting the same trouble, Councillor Hardy? Yeah.
To a degree, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And certainly if you're making it, if you're putting it for Vicks, it would be good to put it for both of us. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Good That's idea. Good.
Thank you.
The annual financial audit documents are now published on the parish website, and the external auditors have been sent the required copies of the documentation. We'll wait back to hear from them at some point, but we're into the final stages of our annual audit now. The returning officer has confirmed that the required number of electorates have contacted him to request an election for Councillor Barraclough's seat that she vacated last month. This election will form part of the full parish council elections in May 2021. So legally, the only way to fill spaces on the council until then is via co-option. But we're still quorate, and we've still got a very good percentage of elected members at the moment. Moving on to, we had item 267, which was comments last week, in which I mentioned that the Kerryfields play area work had started for renovation. That's now completed. It looks very smart. I've also contacted Wicksteed, who are the company that supplied equipment for the park, and they are all ready to go with our lovely new, I think it's called a Miss Muffet, big play area thing for toddlers and people up to the age of 7. They've got that ready. They've got an installation team ready. Now all they need are for hotels to be open and for the ferries to be running normally so that they're allowed to come over, and they do keep checking that. So they're in a good position once ferries and hotels can accommodate them. Brightstone Landscaping have confirmed that they are going to put a new fence post in on the gate that got partially vandalised. It turns out the damage wasn't too bad in the end, but that gate post was actually quite rotten and needed replacing anyway. So they're going to put a price together for us, let us know, and then we'll get them to replace that. It shouldn't really be very much money. Last meeting, I was asked to contact the Environment Agency and request them to put in a test of the water that was entering the lagoon at the nature reserve. Put that request in, but I haven't had any further correspondence back from the Environment Agency so far, but that request is in, and so we'll see what happens. Item 2074, Dingy Park lease. Warner Goodman are finalising the lease for Dingy Park, and we are now going to investigate the cost of replacing the fence all the way around it, and we're trying to use wooden and concrete posts to use so we can have an idea for longevity for that. The work on the Seagrove Bay toilets is well underway. Councillor Adams has been project managing that, as he suggested. There was some unexpected damp. Councillor Adams has actually helped to resolve that with some of the issues with drains around the edge of the building, but we'll have to keep an eye on that on an ongoing basis. As mentioned earlier by Kevin, we've put temporary toilets in now in the Pier Road car park whilst that work continues, and the Isle of Wight Council, because it's covering an existing service, have allowed us to put them in there with no charge for the use of the car park till the end of the month. The renovations at Purple Park have now been completed, and again, very nice, a very good standard. And Clean White Cleaning have got them back up and running, and we've got our COVID-19 specific instructions on display for anyone who's considering using them. Nearly another business at the end of last, or the information section, Councillor Hardy asked if we would ask the Island Road SAT perform a traffic survey on the bend on the double yellow lines at Eddington Road. But it turns out great minds think alike, because we were about the fourth entity to ask them, including several members of the public, and that is something they're doing, because lots of people have mentioned how dangerous they think that is, so that's good. The final item from that was where Councillor Elliott mentioned about joining up a small ground level drainage outlet near the Seagrove Bay toilet to the proper drain. and the Island Road steward, John Barry, put on his schedule for investigation. They will look into seeing whether that is actually something they can do or not. And that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Brian?
Yes.
Sally said she had a matter arising.
Matter arising?
A very small thing, but yeah. There was the thank you to volunteers in the county press on May the 29th, which our parish took a nice prominent sort of piece. Did it in fact incur the £40 fee?
No, it did not. No, it turned out it was all covered already.
Well done.
They changed their mind and they said they'd got enough money themselves, so they didn't charge us.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah,
that's it. Is that you, Brian?
Yes, thanks very much.
Okay, item number 6 is planning. Dave?
Right, that's me. Good evening, all. It's first on the agenda, delegated decisions. And we have number 10, Pondwell Close. Decision granted. Land at the rear and adjacent to the Wishing Well Public House. Decision granted. 33 Solent View Road, Nettlestone. Proposed replacement garage. Decision granted. 14 Cherry Tree Road, Nettlestone. Proposed single door extensions, alterations and porch. Granted. 30 High Saw Turns, Seaview. Single story rear extension, single story side extension. Extension at first floor level over existing garage. Refused. Red Cross Cottage, Saltearns Road, Seaview. Proposed storage shed granted. That brings us on to applications. Applications, one only this month, and that's number 2, Pond Lane, Seaview. Are we all familiar with that?
Yeah.
Right. They're proposing now demolition of conservatory, proposed single story extensions with terrace over, alterations to include roof lights and porch, revised scheme. Now on that, I noticed there was no comments, so nobody local is objecting. It's from it, it doesn't look unpleasant to the eye. Apart from there's quite a large area of flat roofing. But what did come to my attention was, I've noticed on the aerial view of it, that they're more than doubling the footprint of this building.
Yeah.
Now with this, with the location in relation to the Hershey and being in the conservation area, with its location, and this also raises similarities with the one we remarked on last month, which got turned down, which was 30 High Saw Turns. That's been refused. Correct me if I'm wrong, I believe, Becky, that was very similar circumstances. We thought
it looks very similar to me, yes.
You know, and I don't know. What are your views on it?
Well, I thought it was a very big extension of the what you'd call it, the ground area. And we didn't think that we thought that was overdevelopment at 30 High Saltons, so I thought maybe we'd think the same there. But
I'm agreeing the same, but I don't know what the other members think. So what do you think?
It does seem like overdevelopment.
Mm.
The only thing with it is it's not affecting anybody. It's not overlooking anybody. There's a property next door, but it's not overlooking it, what's proposed. But it is a huge, it is more than doubling.
Yeah. Which,
but it's a little cottage on its own. I mean, it's got nothing around it really, has it?
No, and no one's complaining.
No one's objected.
No.
Anybody else got any views? Roy, Diane, Mike?
No comment, no.
No. Sorry, I didn't realise I was muted. No, I've got no problem with it at all.
It is big, but...
Recommendation?
Well, I propose, on everything that's said, I propose we go with it. It's, as Busy says, there's no one's commenting on it. It is all detained in one area. It's on its own little plot there. And it's, I can't really see any objection to it. Aesthetically, it looks, I think it looks better than the Saltern's one. The Saltern's ones, I was concerned, looked a bit containery.
Yeah.
This one, with a flat, with the fact that this one has got the pitch roof, I think it's more in keeping with the surroundings. So,
I propose we go with that. Then, that we accept
it? Dave's proposed. Is there a seconder?
Yeah, I'd second.
A second. And
all those in favour?
Is Sally abstaining?
In favour, she says.
Oh, in favour. Okay. Yeah. I think that's unanimous then. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Thank you. Okay, so the ward councillor, I'm afraid, isn't here. So, next is Nettleston and City Community Partnership. Becky?
Well, there's not very much to say because, unfortunately, we've had to cancel most things. There is just an update from the Men in Sheds, which I think everybody's already seen, that they now have a charity status, and which they're hoping will help give them access to funding that they haven't been able to approach before. And then there's the, and then they're dealing with the issue up on the, of the, up on the football field of the, what was it, of the...
Oh, the planning permission.
The planning permission, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But so that's really the only new news.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, next one's me, but I haven't really got anything to say other than the place is currently closed. But Chairman of Trustees, do you want to say anything, Kevin? No. Did you want to say something, Roy?
You're on mute, Roy. Should be the bottom left.
Oh, right. Roy, I think you're here.
He's here.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes, Roy, yeah.
Yep. You can. I went to the ground today to have a look at the state of the recreation ground. There was five people there doing some good exercising.
I know nothing about that.
Yeah, it looked good. But I did notice, and I was very pleased to see, that Luke Screamore was doing the taking all the moss off the pavilion roof. He was doing a heck of a job there, which needed to be done. And obviously...
And he's going to treat it. He's going to treat it, Roy.
He's going to treat it, when he's cleared it all.
That's right.
He was halfway through it today when I went. And he explains to me what he's doing, which I know because I've seen him do it before. Yeah. So that's a good job being done. Well done getting that done now while no one else is around.
Yes, it is, yeah. So it's part of the plan, preventative maintenance.
Yeah, that's pleasing. I asked, while I was there, I said, just check all the gutters out. And he said, we'll do, and clear all the moss away. So I don't think we've got any problems with that. I'm glad it's being done because, as we are aware, Chris Norman used to do that for us. So, you know, we're lucky that, I'm not lucky, we've got it done. That's one point sorted out. I was wondering whether or not it would be a good idea to, I know we're on the lockdown, but see if we could look forward to opening the pavilion up to groups of six, like which is expected, and possibly the sixth person being someone who is responsible for it, for the key. He would be responsible for cleaning down, sanitising, and could we have some sanitisers set up for there now at the door?
Yeah.
And if anybody uses the one toilet and don't use the kitchen, don't use anything at all, except possibly the disabled toilet. And if they use it, they should have sanitisers, clean it after them and walk out. And at the end of the day, whoever's the key holder for that sixth group should make sure that it's clean. Do you think we could look forward to opening that?
As regards your sanitizer point, I've already put sanitizer up there, or I should say Mandy is taking it up tomorrow.
Right.
So a little table inside the door. It's down to the user groups, isn't it? Kevin.
I'm concerned.
We've already canvassed all the user groups, and at this stage, no one wishes to restart. And anyway, at the moment, the government haven't released premises like ours to restart anyway. And the earliest, if they did, would be the 4th of July. But we have got a separate meeting this week with a group that we've set up to actually look at what we might need to do in September if we reopen.
All right. Well, I have a situation where tomorrow night a few of the footballers want to start training up there. So they're aware that you can only train with six of them and set themselves out all over the show so as they're not in contact, keep that meterage apart, 2 meters. I was going to go up there, and possibly Reg Barry was going to be up there, and we were going to just sit outside and just make sure that they sort of do everything we want and see how it works. Because sooner or later, a lot of the other football clubs are wanting to open up and train. And they can't go and train at Sandown School because it's a school and it'll be locked up. But we are fortunate.
Long as you're aware that you're not allowed on the premises.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. But we're not going
that,
on the
that premises. Is any of you, including yourself and
yes,
and
that
Reg,
is sure. We're aware of that. Reg and I will take a couple of chairs up and sit there. But at least we can see what's going on. And it's a way forward for all the football, all the young boys who want to start training, just to make sure it's done properly. And they don't say, right, oh, we can play football, we can play a full game. They can't do that. And I'm sure that's what we were looking forward for, just getting them, keeping fit, like you did today. So that's really what it's for. That's me. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy. Nelson Residents Association. Somebody going to talk for them?
You're muted.
Okay.
No, you're not, Barry.
Patricia's
muted. Oh, Trish, hang on, I'll unmute her.
I wasn't sure if Dave was going to say something. No, I mean, really, I think and Mark's listening in, he might have something to say, actually. I think the main thing is we have asked the parish council to look at this school car park thing, and there is an agenda item on that. So it might be best if we can actually leave it until that point. We're quite concerned with the way, you know, with that car park and actually the school's response to what we actually asked them. So I'll leave that one for that person, if I may.
Sorry, but in the meantime, I think it's important that the relevant background, including the school that the resident, the letter the residents sent, putting their case, has been read, because it doesn't add up well, none of it does.
Is that it, Trish, for a minute?
Yeah, if I can sort of expand when we get to that point.
Okay, fine. Dave, I walk,
right. Basically, the main thing is they've changed the bulletins. Now they're bringing them forward to they're going to be issued on the first and the third Wednesdays of the month. And current updates, if there's anything to be updated, please get to Jill by the Tuesday evening before the Wednesday, and she'll update the site. There's an upcoming Zoom meeting with Bob Seeley and the NHS on Tuesday the 16th of June, which is tomorrow at 11 o'clock, which is open to all clerks and councillors. There's a thing they've put on there which has come up called Points of Light, which apparently showcases the excellent work of local parish and town councils in building stronger communities. And basically it's just something promoting what we do and putting it out there what we do, i.e. running community shops, facilitating post offices, providing changing places in WCs and bits and pieces, and employing youth services managers and things like that. So that's it, basically.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Right, the next item is the proposed development at Puckball Hill.
Barry?
Yeah, sorry, Rebecca.
You asked me to give an update. Would you like me to do that?
Cause just do that, yeah, if you wouldn't mind, please.
You asked me to find out.
Yeah.
So, Barry, the chair asked me to find out for the group what the yacht club's what they're planning to do going forward. And at the moment, they are making plans for what they will do from the 4th of July. Some of the staff have been furloughed so that they, I mean, sorry, brought back off furlough so that they can make plans, hoping that the government go ahead, but obviously not dependent on that, so that they can reopen only the outside areas for food and drink in a socially distanced way, with a one-way system to the loos, basically. But obviously that depends on what the government says about July the 4th, but they're making plans hoping that that's what happens. And then as far as sailing goes, they're following the RYA's instructions, which is that from sometime at the beginning of July, they'll be able to have to run races for individuals in boats or people in boats that come from the same household.
That's for the CV1s?
No, it would also be things like Optimists, Picos, Lasers, you know. Handicap Plus. I don't know when they will start racing, but they have the RYA have said that is can go ahead.
Okay. Kevin?
Yeah, Becky, what about the Village Regatta?
Oh, well, I can speak for that as well, if you like.
I thought you could, yes.
Being on that committee as well. The regatta, that no decision is being made at the moment. But it will be reviewed again in mid-July.
Right. So, the proposed development at Putball Hill. Before we get into that in any more depth, I'd like to thank Councillor Sally Rivlin for the very important document that she took a lot of trouble to produce. I don't know if you've all, councillors, have got it about the basically horrendous planning potential in our parish.
Yeah,
I'll just give you a few pointers. Westridge Farm, off of Marlborough Road, has got a potential of 555 properties. So if you stood at the top of Pomwell Hill near the where the Christmas tree is and looked over to your sort of southwest, that is going to be filled up with houses. So far, they've only got provision for 80. You've got Harcourt Sands, that's 128 individual dwellings, plus a 63-bed hotel. You've got a total of 920 in our area, including Eddington Road. And, of course, we know there's 140 houses been granted permission in Ashton. So they're all right on our doorstep, and that's without the 900 houses at Pennyfeathers. Whilst not in our parishes, going to be using parts of our infrastructure. And I think we need to really clamp down on that. So the proposed development at Putball Hill, I instructed our clerk to set up a Zoom meeting with WYG, not as a parish council thing, but hosted by the parish council, so the parishioners can speak to the developers directly and basically explain the depth of their feeling. And right at the beginning of this meeting, I proposed that I will be making an announcement that whilst we are hosting this, because nobody else will host it, and I think that's the right thing for us to do, I will make it absolutely clear that this does not, can't think of the word, this isn't in any way an engagement with the parish council, and it will be recorded so they won't be able to misquote us down the road. So what do people think about that?
Right, I'd like to interject, if I may.
Hey.
I've had today a lady from Putball has dropped me around all these letters today. There doesn't appear to be any single support for the proposed development. But what the main concerns is, I was just looking for her name, it's Margaret Montgomery, the lady's name. I've also had another fella turn up, Philip somebody, and there's quite a strong resentment to this. And what the main concern is at the moment, it's basically what you just said, Barry. It's with all the ongoing development that's going on around it, A, is there a need? But secondly, and the main one, which I think, is they're very concerned about being disenfranchised. There's many of them down there that don't have any internet and don't do this Zoom thing. bits and pieces, so they don't really feel they're getting a fair say. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to propose that we put this meeting off, this upcoming meeting Thursday. I would like to propose that we put that back, if possible, for 2 or 3 months, and that would give us a proper time to engage with the residents, get them fully involved with what's going on. And I'd like to try and propose, with these lockdown restrictions easing off and shops opening now, et cetera, et cetera, maybe it could be held in the Masonic Hall. And if we still look like overcrowding, maybe we could do something where a presentation's put on, where we can walk around and do sort of a one-way system or something, but fully engage with the people, and particularly the elderly residents down there. That was it, basically.
Kevin, would you like to say something?
Yeah, just to say, as you'll probably know, David, you, as a parish council, you have no influence on that. If you put it off 3 months, they can put the planning in before that.
Yeah, but we're not...
Because they've already announced their timescales.
Kevin, but I still believe that I agree with that. And at the end of the day, I also agree with we have absolutely no power regarding the Isle of Wight Council. But I think to do the right thing by the residents, it would be a nice gesture if we could suggest to WYG that, you know, what difference does 2-3 months make in the current climate, really? And if it's going down as a goodwill gesture towards the residents and engaging fully with them, surely that's going to create a much more better feeling towards the developer than sort of fobbing them off.
Agree, but also you've got their opinions already, haven't you, which you can voice on their behalf.
Well, it's not the same, though, as a bit of engagement, is it, Kevin?
No, I'm not disagreeing. I just don't think that there will be any large meetings being held in the next 3 months.
No, there may not be.
But what happens if we do that and then they put the planning application in before we've had a meeting?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is what could easily happen.
Well, that's the problem, and I've actually explained that to the residents, Di.
Yeah.
Because it's, I've just been forthcoming with it, you know.
I think the point about you're making about the disenfranchising, I understand that, I get that. But if we go back to all the debates we've had with Gidwell Field predominantly, there's always somebody who doesn't know. There's always somebody. You know, we've got emails, we've got our own website, we've got the notice board, we've got the Beacon, we've got the Parish Magazine, and somebody always says, didn't know, or I haven't got a computer. And even if it wasn't this event, somewhere down the road there will be somebody who hasn't got a computer. You know, that's always going to be the new person coming along that is going to feel disenfranchised. And I think the 3 months, leaving it for 3 months, I think is a real big worry. As Diane said, if they whack it in next week or next month, what are we going to do?
We'll make sure
those people know, just they thoroughly fed up they are with this.
I have to agree with Dave a bit on this, just because I think it would just be a box ticking exercise for the developer. I think if they do put in for it, we can turn around and say, well, they haven't engaged. Not go out there and host a meeting so they go, right, tick, we've engaged the public.
And then just lie like
they did with Gidwell Field and say, oh, everybody wants it. It's a brown field. You know, that's what they did with Gidwell. I think it becomes a box-ticking exercise.
Yeah, but I think if we don't do anything, we're just putting our heads in the sand, aren't we?
Well, I think we can turn around and say they haven't engaged with us.
Well, they've tried to, haven't they? If we cancel it.
We approached them. They didn't approach
us. I thought they approached us.
They sent us each a lovely little charming email, but they haven't approached the public. They haven't engaged with the public, have they?
No, but they have, because everybody in the area has got questionnaires for their feedback. That was only by saying out about it, wasn't it? Yeah. Philip?
Has everyone in the parish got an email from them?
I think all the parish councillors got one, yeah.
No, but I mean the other residents of the parish.
I don't know, mate. Certainly because those who haven't got...
There's other concerns that my concern with this is, I mean, the impact this building's having on us all. When you get Harcourt Sands come online, and if this development comes online as well, I mean, the extra traffic movements alone are going to be horrendous, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that has, you know, that has a negative impact on the traffic coming down Ariel, coming through our village here, Nettlestone. It's maybe not so much at Seaview because you're a little bit more detached down the front there, but to me, Barry, this raises concerns for everyone in the parish, and I think we need to put that to WYG that we would like to notify the parish accordingly. And okay, if we've got to do that on Zoom, we do that on Zoom. But I think they should have the courtesy to give us another month or so just to draw up and get a proper balanced view across the parish.
That's but Dave, I think what you said, Dave, is absolutely right. It will bring horrendous traffic situations, and I think the sooner we tell them what we feel, the better. But I also agree with you that we should have a public meeting so we can do it for those people that might be disenfranchised.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen what Sally wrote?
No.
No, I didn't see it.
Have you?
I can't see what she wrote. Could somebody read it out?
I can say it. I think we should hold the Zoom meeting on Thursday to enable as many of us as possible to sort of hear what the developers are thinking and the way they want to take it, so that we're up to speed. And then we can brief people who don't use Zoom or whatever. And this is really early stage. I'm sure that they will come back. You know, this is not putting a planning application in. This is, you know, first look, isn't it?
I'm not so sure they will come back, because when you read this, it appears that they've already drawn up a timetable.
No, they have to. They have to come back, and that's my point. This is just the consultation side. If you think about Gibwell Field, we had, was it three or four public meetings? I can't quite remember now. Yeah. There was at least four public meetings on Gibwell Field, including the original one, before any application was put in. And this is at the same stage. So this is just an initial consultation. And therefore, by getting in early and putting our views now, right, they can't avoid the fact that those views have been presented. Then if they do put their planning in, then obviously they'll have to come along again at that stage and do another presentation because of the size of it. That's what I'm saying. I think as far as the Isle of Wight Council is concerned, that area was designated or is designated in the regeneration plan and has been there, as councillors you'd have seen it last year. And it does state in there 3.67 that improvements to road networks would need to be made if the developments required it. So you can, as a parish council, ensure that that is put in there. But the other thing in that document says the opportunity to grow the settlements of Nettlestone and Seaview in a substantial way. That is one of the requirements of the current regeneration plan, unless you had it changed. Now, I don't know the status of the plan, but you do need to find out whether that's been adopted, because it hadn't been adopted last year to my knowledge. But if that has now been adopted and those changes weren't made, then obviously it leaves our parish in a vulnerable position, because if you recall, there was also the area of the donkey fields and the area between the Seagrove Recreation Ground and the donkey fields as well were in that plan as being areas that could be considered for residential.
But this is why we need to bring up and maybe start moving a bit more urgently with the neighbourhood plan. Because obviously we're just exposed from every angle, aren't we?
Yes, exactly. That is my point. You do need to find that out before Thursday, so it's absolutely clear what status that ground has got now. Just to be really clear. They do quote that in their document, that it is in the current regeneration plan.
Barry, Phil wants to say something.
Right. Can I just say, look, I've dealt with things like this for well over 30 years on parish councils and district councils. Be preemptive. We do not have powers in terms of planning, but we have powers in terms of the fact that you lot are elected. You are as elected as any member of the Isle of Wight Council. You're just as important as they are. Now, be proactive. Forget about all the rules and regulations. You know what we feel. You have seen what they've done to us in the past. The meetings they had over Gibwell Field and that awful article that was put in the local rag. where they tried to use every stat to say that we loved it. I mean, Mark Gidwell is here. Mark Gidwell Davis is here. He knows exactly what happened at those meetings. And I'm going to say it. They lied and they lied and they lied and they put it into print. And that's exactly what they're going to do again. So any engagement at the moment with those people is going to prove to be negative. Now, forget about that. This parish council has the power to have an opinion, a big opinion. And what I've been listening to, none of you want this development to happen, whatever plan it has been put into. So use your power as a parish to state exactly what you want. You know the public support you. Those people who are disenfranchised and don't have this system, they can be talked to, they can be contacted, they can be phoned. But I think Dave is right. In terms of the fact that wait, right, find out what's going on, but get a letter out stating exactly what you feel, what the history has shown about what they're going to do to our parish. They don't give a damn, and they will lie, and they will lie, and they will lie again. So use your powers as a parish.
Well said, Phil. Field, we've got to learn from that. The developers lie. They try to, you know, sway the parish councillors, get them on side, make them think it's a really good idea, and it's lies. It worked once, it's not going to work again, and I don't want to engage with them.
And look at the classic example with the Gidwell Field, with what Philip said with the press release. They quoted 12 people as positive. The developer equated that to 86%. And I feel this is what we're up against. And I really feel at this stage we need to disengage. The residents have expressed their wish not to engage at the moment. So really, if we disengage, if we can only get a month out of them, a month's better than nothing. But I believe the residents would be happy for us at this moment in time to disengage.
Well, that's not my take on people talking. I've spoken to really want to give them some stick, you know, just so that they don't get an easy ride.
No, they do, Barry. That's why they do want to give them stick. But what we've got to do, I think there's a lot more people out there that will give them a lot more stick as well. And surely the bigger the club we can wield towards them, the better that's got to have.
I just think we shouldn't be sticking our head in the sand. It's so old-fashioned. We've got to confront these people head-on. And give the parishioners an opportunity to turn around and say, swing your hook. Or at least we're not going to give you an easy ride.
Well, I think the parishioners are going to do that. But how do we get enough information by Thursday?
Well, I mean, I think the parishioners will just go on their pre-application drawings and fancy pictures that they send us all. Because it's enough to wind a lot of people up, as you know. I mean, if we want another 50 houses when there's 128 going up the other side of the road.
Well, that's, yeah.
You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Mike, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I mean, when you actually look at the site where it is and you look at the map, because that was actually, I think, the sports facility from originally across the road with the Hartford Sands. And it's the golf and various parts. But when you look around it, there's a lot of houses. And if you look at it, I'm trying to be cynical here. If you look at it over, looking down on it, you'd think it would be ideal for planning because it's got houses all the way around it and the potential across the road. But the worst part to that is, and that's where Sally's reports come in how many houses have actually already got permission and therefore our infrastructure cannot cope. And that's where you've got to look at it. Cynically, one side you can be saying, but to be fair, you know, all these continue to be getting permissions in the various locations. A lot of them are holding fire, like penny feathers, nothing's happening. But we need to be getting back to the MP to highlight our concerns that this island plan, the government need to get together with the Isle of Wight Council to cut so that, you know, it's the parish has more say in the decisions that are made right for the particular village. That's the real crux of it, because all of a sudden, already we've got too much development and it's not happening, but they're just not suitable for our particular infrastructure. And I think the only way is we're stuck as the parish, but the Isle of Wight Council is the government legislations that need to change to stop that. But we, you know, and I can see what Philip is saying, is that, you know,
yeah,
our word is strong, and, you know, we need to emphasise that. I can't say which is the right way, but I just feel that we need to make sure that the Isle of Wight Council realise that it's the parish that's the important one they need to be listening to, because we're nearer to the ones that know the needs for the particular area. And we know already that we've got too much, you know, on that accordingly, on the paperwork. And, you know, the Eddington Road one we're looking at because we see it for its need, not just mass producing on houses. So I think that's where I would personally feel we need to be going forward on it.
Diane or Becky, you got anything to say?
Sorry, go on, Becky.
No, you say.
Well, I've already said that I think if we don't do it on Thursday, they're going to put the planning application in anyway. And then I think the residents will be totally disenfranchised because we can get more information. As Sally said, I mean, we just have to go. We don't have to ask questions. We can just listen to what they say. And then we can make our own conclusions.
Okay, let me take the temperature then of the councillors. Should we go ahead on Thursday, yes or no?
Well, it's got to be one or the other. I say no.
I think we should.
One.
I think we should.
Two. Sally is three.
I think we should.
That's four. Okay, then. I propose that we go ahead on Thursday. Somebody second that?
I will.
Okay, all those in favour?
Go on.
But I think what we should remember is immediately we allow the clerk to emphasise the communication that this is, you know, so that we've got the upper hand on them rather than them the other way around.
What I mean is if
we find there's something going wrong very quickly, it is communicating back to our electorate to help to make sure that you know, there isn't any misguidance of any wording accordingly, because it's, you know, we want to make sure that the parish have, you know, the parishioners understand what's been said, and we fully open all of the time.
I agree. Okay,
can I just say on all these applications going in, I think it's really important that we start, is it the neighbourhood plan,
It is really something that during my watch I really want to focus on. We're a little bit stymied because we're all stuck in this.
Yeah, but we can Zoom meeting. We can do it on Zoom. We don't need to make it in person.
It is something that will take 18 months or 2 years, but I really want to. I want Philip's help because he knows how to do it.
Don't go delayed, Chris, because I think I requested that we hold fire with it until we could get back meeting in person.
We can meet outside now. We can meet outside.
Like the recreation ground.
Yeah. Well, we can.
Come stand around you.
That's fine.
Yeah. No,
can I just go?
I think Philip, didn't you say that there are grants available to help?
Yeah.
Are you muted?
Okay. Yes, there are grants available. You don't have to do a full neighbourhood plan, right? So in terms of time scale, it's not going to take 18 months. You could try and protect some of the areas, your green spaces, right? And you could probably do a separate one on housing as well. So what is it, about 9 different elements to it?
Yeah, there are. There's nine grants you can get from the government.
Yeah, but you can actually do a neighbourhood plan just on a couple of areas. You can get grants and you can do them quickly.
Would you be interested then, the pair of you, being part of a working group?
Can I just say, yes, we should have been off the town council are on, but because of this virus, we're obliged to do 5 years, not normal 4. And we're heavily engaged up there in trying to save the green belt around Oxfordshire. But yes.
Can you pick the phone up and talk to you?
Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to do one up there. That's the thing.
And get in contact with the St Helens Parish Council so we can split the costs.
Are they doing it?
They're keen.
Are they doing it then?
Well, I think if we can split the cost and incorporate the two parishes, it's going to cost us half the amount and get it done legally.
But they might not want to do it, Bish.
But, well, we can ask.
But we can ask, yeah, I agree.
I'm happy to apply for £9 as well. So yeah. if you do two separate ones, but sort of try and blend them, you could probably get 18 grand.
Right, a couple of things. One thing I want to say is it's more exciting than that, Trish. It went up to 10 grand last week because of COVID. Everybody can have 10 grand. Hooray! Genuinely, that's real. That's real. Irregardless of whether you started or not, you can get 10 grand now. That changed last week.
We started ours, so we're already on 9.
Yeah, you can ask for it. You can ask for it. You can ask for the extra money, Trish.
Ask for the top up.
Now, Barry, you'd started a proposal in the middle of a resolution to basically, this was you're saying you were proposing you were going to go ahead and still hold the meeting on Thursday. You proposed it. Becky seconded it. 5 people voted in favour and it got interrupted and you didn't do any objections or abstentions. So I've got a part way through a resolution. That's right. Yeah. So
just to do that again then.
Yes, please.
Okay. So I propose that we go ahead on Thursday. A seconder, please.
And if Becky did it before.
Okay, all those in favour?
That's 5, I think, is it?
5, yeah. 5. Sally's online is in favour.
Right. I think Mike was in favour, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. I can't see his hand. I'm sorry, Mike, I couldn't see your hand.
It's a silhouette.
And do you want to do objections as well, Barry, please?
Any abstentions?
I'm not abstention. No, I didn't. I thought you said objection.
Oh. No.
So you're abstaining, are you?
Objection, Biz.
Pardon? I'm not abstaining, no. I'm against it.
Yeah, you're objecting.
And what about, sorry, Dave, and the Dave objection?
I'm also against it.
Two objections.
So, thank you very much.
Okay, that's it then.
Cool.
Right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay, so planning applications for major developments.
Just a second, Barry. So. Sorry. Can I just, is it, as a parish council then, with this resolution, with this one, we are going to have the meeting still. Can I just double check, were we intending to put in a joint answer? Are you going to wait, are you, as a parish, going to have an opinion for the pre-application consultation?
I would like the parish council not to comment.
Okay.
Not to make any comment. So we're hoping the parishioners make their own arrangements and give them what for, but we won't make any comments, so they cannot accuse us down the road of engaging.
Can I just check? Does that mean not asking any questions?
Oh, no, you can ask as a parishioner, can't you?
Yes.
But as a parish council entity, I don't want to do that.
Because actually, when the people from the hut came, and we asked them lots of questions, and it was very obvious that they weren't going to get an easy ride and nobody was in favour, that never went any further, did it?
No. I don't think it was ever going to get granted anyway. I mean, beautiful.
No, but...
Okay.
Barry.
Sorry, could I just come in for a second? I can't actually make this meeting Thursday anyway, I think. It's this Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, 5 o'clock on Thursday, Dave.
I'm not going to be able to make it. But I think the parish needs to put in some sort of remark. If we're picking up, you know, it's a difficult one, but this gets back to the time. It's considering of what I've got on the table in front of me here, it doesn't seem that this is going to be a popular development at all. But at this moment in time, we haven't got enough facts in front of us. So we need to be careful that we're not predetermined. But from a point of view with respecting the residents, are we going to voice something or are we just going to stay? Because I don't think it's right that we engage and we know the strength of feeling we've got already about this and then we're going to stay neutral.
Are we going to be there as parish council or are we going to be there as individual residents, Barry? What do you want us there as?
I want us to be there as individual residents. I don't want the parish council to make any comment whatsoever.
Okay.
We are hosting it for the parishioners to turn around and express their views. And
okay, so I might have misunderstood that, Barry.
I'll just run through my intentions. This won't necessarily be the words, but the meeting will start, we'll make our introductions, and I will make a statement saying that this is being hosted by the parish council as a body that is able to do it for the benefit of the parishioners to ask questions. We as a parish council will not be making any comment, and this is being recorded, and you should not see this as engaging with the parish council. That's what I want it to be.
Good.
Yeah, that's good comment. That's fair comment. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'll ask our own questions, but it shouldn't be seen as a parish council thing.
Have we been given the zoo passcode and clearance on it?
I think Brian's on that, aren't you, Brian?
Last week. Yeah, and it's on the parish website under news as well.
Yeah,
find it in our news section.
Thank you, Brian.
I'll put it there.
Can we move on? This is.
Sorry for interrupting you on that one, Barry. I just wanted to double check.
That's why you're here, mate. Item number 9 is planning applications for major developments. I think this is you, Dave, isn't it?
Yes, it is. All this was just briefly. I think we've basically touched on it a little bit in what we're speaking about. I'd like to just briefly touch on if we could consider requesting a moratorium on major planning applications on the Isle of Wight until the public can physically attend meetings. I've just wondered if we could take a vote on that. I don't think the Isle of Wight Council would do anything, but I think we need to let them know strength of feeling within the parish, because we're not the only parish alone on this. And I believe Michael Lilly has just done the same last month on behalf of Ride East, because he's concerned of the pressure coming from West Acre Farm and everything else, Penny Feathers and everything else, what's going on around the area. And I think we should do the same, if only to let our feelings known as a parish council that we're not really happy with the way things are proceeding.
Am I taking it as a proposal there from David to request a moratorium in writing from the Isle of Wight Council for major developments? Is that in the parish or all over the island, sorry, Dave?
Well, on the island in general. I think any major development in the current circumstances, I think they need to be put on hold and looked at properly, just so the public can get in there. For all the same reasons we've got what we've been discussing here tonight now.
Thank you. So, that's a proposal then.
I'll second that, Dave.
Thank you.
Kevin wants to say something. Did you see his hand?
Who?
Kevin. Thank you, Sally.
Who is he? Oh, he's right behind my pop-up, sorry. Go on, Kevin.
I was just going to say, David, you actually sit on iWalk. Surely that would be the best place to get this resolution, because then you'd have the strength of all the other parish councils and town councils behind it as well.
Well,
just an individual parish council.
I've been trying to do that, Kevin, but that's not easy with our beloved Isle of Wight Council. But it's, again, it actually got thrown a little bit up in the air because of all this video conferencing we're starting to do, all this Zooming and that. But it was actually coming up on the agenda there. I'm happy to raise it again with iWalk, and I think I would do it as a matter of urgency. But in the meantime, just with what's going on our own parish, because this side of the island as well, I think we all realise that I think we're a little bit more under pressure than certain other places on the island.
I think you're right, Davis, mainly because the west of Newport, the Needles really, is largely agricultural and there's not so much of it over here. So it's prime building, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. But people I've met through iWalk, I must say there's a general disconnect and discontentment between the engagement between the parishes and the Isle of Wight Council. So I think things are starting to liven up, but we may have to get back around the table properly, because I haven't iWalked a Zoom meeting at the moment. I've done one the other week with the NHS and something. I've done one with Bob Seeley. But hell of a lot of it seems to have gone a bit skee-whiff, in as much as they're talking more about government law passing things that we can just keep meeting and doing, you know. And we seem to have lost our way a little bit at the moment. And that's the strength of it. But I think as a parish, I think this would be a nice gesture that if we carry this forward, we're just stating our case with the residents, what we would like. Okay.
So you proposed it. I've seconded it. Can we put it to the vote then?
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Nearly put it to the vote, Barry. Nearly.
Nearly put it to a vote, yeah.
I mean, two parts. The council, Isle of Wight, will make the final decision, but I think it's important that we have our particular say. But also, David, you were saying about iWalk, and concerns you've got at the moment. I'm just on the other computer. The on their website, it actually doesn't have us as a member. Oh. So I don't know if you want to get, if you actually, I've just Googled them and put it on their website, and it's got who the parish councillors are, all the parish councils are members, and to complete, and it says, and for completeness, those who are not currently in membership, Benbridge, Calvo, Neston, Seaview, Sandown, those got us as not a member.
You've not been gate crashing, Dave, have you?
Have we paid the fees? We did, yeah, we did, yeah.
I'll change that up.
We only rejoined this year, didn't we?
Yeah, no, they probably just have an update.
It's just been updated, Mike. We, as Kevin says, we've only just rejoined.
Mm. It's been over a year now. Oh, they've had their second check off us.
Yeah. Oh, really? One big one. Probably in lockdown.
You're on. I'm ready to vote.
No. Okay.
I'm ready to vote.
All those in favour of Dave's proposal? Did Sally say anything?
No. I'm going to abstain. I don't really agree.
Okay.
And how many? Sorry. So we've got six agreements. Oh, was it seven? Sorry, seven agreements and one abstention. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Right. So, item number 10 is the school car park on Gibwell Field. Dave, would you like to say anything about this?
I would, indeed. Okay. I've got two motions here I'd like to put.
Two motions, okay.
The first one being, governors in the school, and it's my proposal is, the parish council strongly urges the school governors to reverse their ill-thought-out decision to involve themselves with a Gibwell Field application to include a car park for school use, giving little consideration to the serious social and environmental impacts on the Nettlestone community, which hosts and abuts the primary school. The council requests the governors to write an urgent letter to the Isle of Wight Council withdrawing support for and expressing their opposition to this car park. And what the concerns are there is, there's been numerous correspondence, I believe everyone was sent it, but again this drags on. Basically, the school, they've been lying. They've been evasive, and right through this whole process, they've shown, I think, a lot of favouritism towards the developer and no consideration towards the residents of Nettlestone. And I actually have an email here from David Battelle to Sarah Wilkinson, and he's put, now this has gone in after the comments were due for the planning application. This went in well after the comments were due. I thought I should write to confirm that the school has been in a dialogue with Bloombridge for nearly 5 years. We have seen all of the various master plan options and commented upon them. I can therefore confirm that we are happy that the development proposals will help assist traffic problems at school drop-off and pick-up. The proposed staff car park is specifically welcomed, as are the improved access and waiting arrangements around the green. And there's a bit there that's really causing concern, Mr. Pitlier, about the proposed staff car park is specifically welcome. Now that to me comes out, and all the way through they've been telling us they're neutral. Now even in the very early days when me and Dave Barry was trying to drum up support against the opposition to the field, we tried to arrange a meeting in the school, and the same governor told us we cannot have a meeting in our own primary school in the village where we were trying to put money back into the village to hire one of the rooms because this would show favouritism and bias. And we've got exactly the same thing there. And we're just getting off this school because what we're chasing with the Gibwell Field, they put this line of sight down from the green down to the corner of the hill. And they've called that the vista. And that line of sight is meant to protect the view of the Solent. And after they've passed a decision on the field, they've stuck a bloody car park in the middle of the field. And then they've said, to mitigate that, to make things worse, they said, that's okay, because you won't see it, we're going to screen it with trees. Well, what's happened to our vista? So I'd like to propose that we write a letter to the Isle of Wight Council and to the school. To the school, firstly, we've got to get them to try and withdraw this support for the car park. So I'd like to put that to a vote to see who's in agreement.
I don't think telling them that their ill-thought-out thingy is going to make them change their mind. I'm not sure that, I think that's quite... it's quite antagonistic, isn't it?
Well, maybe please, we need to be antagonistic. They've been honest with us.
Brian, can you turn my view on, please? Because I'd like to interject in this conversation.
Oh, no, everyone can hear you, Dave.
We can hear you.
Hear you, Dave.
You've got to imagine that there's a car park in the middle of a green field as you go up the top of that hill. I'm not talking a small car park. There's no need for a car park. All the houses could have off-street parking. Yeah, if you think about most developments, they have to have off-street parking, drives, etc. The car park is not needed. It's just not needed. And it's going to... You can imagine that when cars go down and they turn round, they're going to go into every single one of the college cottages with the lights as they turn round. Yeah? So they're doing that. It's not needed. And they're taking away 25 car parking spaces from Seaview Lane. That's what the proposal is by Island Roads. Yeah? So actually, they're not getting any more car parking spaces at all. Seaview Lane will become a very fast road going down onto the green and the school. So this car park is just madness.
I totally agree with you, Dave. Absolutely.
Sorry, I haven't got anything else.
I do totally, this barrier. I totally agree with you, Dave. I think, and I think we're all getting too het up about the problems at school time. You know, it's all over
exactly.
5 minutes, morning and evening. We could surely just live with it.
And also, down at the college cottages, a lot of people use the Seaview Lane in the evenings as a second place to park. They haven't got off-street parking. So, again, Arden Roads, if they get that and take away the WL lines, they're going to be less parking for residents that need it. The school doesn't need a car park. And if you work out how far you'd have to walk from that car park to get to the school, it's quite a long way. And why do they want it in the middle? Why can't they have it up the top? So, you know, so it's closer. They're not, it's just...
They want it there, David.
In the middle of a green field.
It will become building ground, won't it?
Of course it is. Then it'll be called ground field. They'll build a house on it. We all know what...
They can build on it. That's
anyway, look...
I don't know how they get away with it.
Look, can I...
You had another proposal, didn't you?
Can I interject again? Well, I'd like to clear that one up first.
Because we haven't had a vote on it. We've had a propose and a second, and it got interrupted.
Patricia wanted the word, didn't they? They said earlier.
Yeah.
Patricia
earlier
did say they wanted to be picked up on this one.
Yeah, I think Dave's actually said it, and all the paperwork we said, we've been incredibly frustrated with the school. They did eventually write a one-line thing to say that they didn't agree with us, and that's why we thought that the parish council should have more kudos than us, maybe, if the parish council wrote to the school. But, I mean, we are so frustrated, I can tell you, about this Gibwell Field application, full stop. And if you go back to when we managed to get a legal letter, which most of us had to pay for out of our own pockets, to the Isle of Wight Council over the October decision, because we said it was 40, it went back in December, that they couldn't understand why it had gone back. They were told that they needed to put in a more robust reason for their decision, which they didn't do. They just went along with what they'd done before. And the problem was that there was a councillor in October called Julie Jones Evans, who three times during that consideration tried to put a motion. I actually transcribed the tape. Three times she tried to put a proposal to get the car park withdrawn. Vanessa Churchman was also saying, why is there a car park on a green field within, outside the protected line? And every time those people tried to, the chairman shut them up and said, we'll go to that in a minute. And then when they actually had the opportunity to say so, he said, oh no, we've already voted on it, and they abandoned it. And that was one of our reasons for it going back. And Julie Jones-Evans actually resigned at the end of the meeting because she was so disgusted by the way it handled. So there was nobody really there bringing that point up. We weren't allowed to speak. So this is actually something which is really quite dire. We don't like the whole application. We think the whole application should be overturned. But this car park is totally unnecessary, and it's been very badly handled by all of them. And that's why we were hoping the parish council would support us.
Yeah.
And they'll take...
Go on. I was just going to say, if we do write the letter, I agree with Becky about, you know, we don't want to come across as thou will do this is a bad thing, blah blah blah. I think what we need to do is just put it in a way that it's saying, look, you're getting these parking spaces, but you're going to lose all these. Think of the children, think of the parents parking. It's a bit of a nightmare out there at school time. I live on the green, I know that, but the car park isn't going to alter anything. All it's going to do is future building. It's just going to be a future building, 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah, I agree. And if there was an opportunity for you to park your car within a 2-minute walk of the school, you are going to do that, and you're going to park in a car park, are you?
So it's not for the parents or the residents anyway.
No, I know.
It's just for the teachers.
Yeah.
No, won't be able to police the car park neither, because you can't have that as a gated car park. So it's you know, I could park my car and then leave it. The whole thing is just.
Yeah,
it's, I don't know why.
It's a sop from the developers to a major stakeholder in the village, which of course is the school.
But no thought for the village is there. It's in the middle of a green field next to an oak tree. It's ridiculous. Because it's not needed.
Well, if they were so keen to build a car park, they would come up with a solution to enable cars to get in the back of this school building where the tractor goes and put a car park behind the school.
If the school...
They also going to see if you lane car with double... Island Roads are going to come to the parish next asking for permission to take away the put WO lines. That's going to make that really road so fast.
Barry, Lynn wants to say something. Can you hear me?
Lynn, please.
Yeah.
This may be an obvious thing, but one of the requirements for access to the Gibwell Field development is that there are yellow lines in Seaview Lane, because as it stands, you can't get in and out of Seaview Lane safely at the point where the entrance to the new development would be.
You're right.
So if the school is saying the car park will mean that you can put yellow lines in Seaview Lane, then it opens the door, doesn't it, for that development then to go ahead?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
We fight it on the double yellows.
You have your point in Island Roads.
Can I just say something a little bit left field here, just because it's in my head, which is, I know we talk about it off and on, but there's an obvious place within the village that we've ignored now, which is the roadside inn. And it's an area and it has parking and nothing's happening with it. Should we be using some energy maybe in trying to do something about that and making it our own so that we could have parking and who knows?
Yeah. I'm not going to buy the roadside.
Kevin,
Philip's
anxious to come in.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Trish wishes to speak, but I just want to remind everybody when you talk about, well, we don't want to sort of upset the school, but think about it. A colleague of Mr. Botel, who was on the Isle of Wight planning, voted in favour of this. Remember, this man was also on was also a governor for the school. And, you know, he should have declared an interest. He didn't. He went ahead and voted. So when you talk about kid gloves, you know, it works two ways. It's about time we had a bit of backbone. We will really suffer around this area particularly, and also the estate behind, because all the displaced traffic will end up round there. And we're not making a safer situation for us. The best form of traffic calming is the situation we've got where everybody has to look out. Well, when you put those yellow lines there, it's going to speed up the traffic, and we will then begin to see accidents. And we don't want to see that, do we?
It's like where you are, Diane. I mean, having those cars parked there slows everything down, doesn't it?
Well, they want to put the yellow lines right outside our house.
No.
You know where, well, my car's normally parked.
Yeah.
And we argued at the time that the only way you can cross the road sometimes is because my car's there and you can shield yourself.
Yeah.
And they decided, they did a safety, and they decided that, yes, it was probably a good idea to have the double yellow lines there because it slowed the traffic. It still fly around the corner anyway, but it is... You know, it is still a bit of a slowdown at the bottom of the hill.
When I drive past your house coming back this way, I look in a bay window in front of me and I see cars coming down the hill.
You know, yeah.
It's like defensive measures all the time, but it's a bit of a blue, isn't it?
Excuse me, I can't put my hand up, but just a quick question. Why is it in Nettleston, can't we have a 20 mile an hour limit like there is in quite a few other villages? Why is there no 20 mile an hour limit in Nettleston?
I think it'd be a great idea.
That's a good idea.
Especially around the areas that...
We've done it over the years. To be honest, yeah, we've looked at it so many times on the parish council, and they say that there's no one to police it. Who's going to police it?
But cars do slow down if it's 20 instead of 30, don't they?
They do. I agree with you, but we've looked at it so many times.
Most people don't do grading very gently, don't they? That's
I think the only way to do that would be with sleeping policemen, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Have some sort of, because they can obviously design the ramps to control the speed. Because if you're going too fast, depending on the camber of the ramp, etc., etc.
We're getting off the subject.
We are a bit. Yes. You'd proposed something and someone has seconded it.
Can I actually just answer something that Lynn just said? Please, it was about the roadside, because you remember that we actually got it re-registered as a community asset for another 5 years, and with an association, we're going to try again to do something. We did get a response from Questmap, to say that they got somebody who was actually going to take it on.
Oh.
Now, that was probably before lockdown.
Ooh.
No more. They said, you know, they come back to us or whatever.
But they don't know it's been re-registered, do they?
I don't know.
Take it on in what way?
They didn't say this. They said, thank you for your interest, but we are negotiating with somebody to take over the building, whatever they were going to do with it, whether it was for retail. It probably isn't true, but that's what they said. So, yes, if we could get a hold of it, Lynn, I think you're absolutely right. We could use it for something, because it should be.
Mm. Anyway, look, could I just suppose again, because as Barry said, we're wandering a bit, if I'd like to propose that, and could we turn...
Second it.
As a parish, I must just add, we overturned that. Well, not me, I wasn't on the council then. But as a parish, you did unanimously rescind that decision on the Gibwell field.
I think
this situation with the car park is only going to cause a lot more ongoing upset. And I just think we need to take a vote. And either way, whatever way it goes, I'd just like a recorded vote on it. And let's put it to bed and see how we go. We get the letter in or we don't.
I seconded it.
Okay, let's a vote then, guys.
Are we talking about as Dave read it out?
Well,
or an objection to the school?
I don't know.
Writing a letter.
Who's going to write the letter? Brian, are you writing the letter?
Brian's
going to let it. So Dave has kindly forwarded me the resolution that he's read out to you, and... from it, you can interpret, if you'd like to, that we're going to write a letter to the school asking them to withdraw it. Now, you could be, as part of your resolution, you could be suggesting that perhaps you would all like to approve the draft before I send it or something.
That's what Sally's just asking.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well done, can Sally. Great minds think alike.
Slowly catching monkey. I don't think we want to admonish the school, speak to them badly. Let's just tell them how we feel, and then we can rack it up a bit depending on response.
I agree.
I'm very happy with that.
So the proposal is to write a letter voicing this, but which you will all sign off on before I send it.
Yep.
So you can agree with the language. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. In which case, I'm very happy to vote yes.
Excuse my word.
Oh, yeah, so...
I think we should be pissing off another stakeholder in the village.
I won't put that bit down, Barry, but that's right. Yeah. Although it'll be on the record. People can hear it, so there you go.
Okay, so...
Sorry, was that unanimous then?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and Dave, didn't you say you had two motions?
Yes, there is. Yeah. It's a second motion. The second one concerns the Isle of Wight Council, the conduct of the planning. The Parish Council supports the expressed concerns of residents that the procedural faults of the October 2019 Planning Committee consideration of the proposal to build on the Gibwell Field were not given due consideration, following the legal challenge when it was returned to the committee in December. The Parish Council is aware that a letter of complaint sent by the Nettleston Village Residents Association in December to both the Chief Executive and Monitoring Officer was not acknowledged, and neither was a follow-up letter. The refusal to accept the facts by both elected members and officers is resulting in a community perception of predetermination. The Parish Council is asking the Isle of Wight Council to look more seriously at these concerns and recognise that there are major faults with the proposal and the way it has been presented. And I'd like to propose that, like I did the first motion, that we write a letter to the Isle of Wight Council, just letting them know that we're not happy with the way they've conducted this business.
Okay, would somebody like to second that?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Is he? Okay, let's put it to the vote. All those in favour? Who have we got?
Is Sally
agreeing?
Yeah.
Sally's agreeing.
Oh. Okay. Oh, so that's unanimous then. Unanimous. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
very much, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, right. Seagrove Bay benches. We know that story, do we, all of us?
Yes.
Okay, well, yes. This will all only be anecdotal because I don't know the dates or the wherewithal, but let's go back to when the wall was originally the new Esplanade as we know it today. It was 2000, I think it was. I'm not going to be calling out anybody's names, but somebody's father died, and he dedicated a bench to his father, which was put in place on their part of the wall. And 3 feet from the wall is their right. They sort of own it somehow, even though it was EU money, but there we are. And along the years since 2000, a couple of other people have come along and put memorial benches next to those without any rights or permission. So when some people arrived in Seaview, and whether they should have been here or not is another matter, decided to tidy things up, they moved these benches a little bit further along the wall and put them in front of someone who's quite happy for them to be there, one of the permanent owners down there. So they didn't have planning permission to be there. They had no permission off the owners to be there. And the current owner said, I'm moving those. And that's what's happened. And I don't think that we'll have any enforcement back up to do anything about it. That's just where we are. And that's my understanding. Albeit anecdotal, a couple of people have told me different things. I won't be mentioning them in any names. But that's as far as my understanding goes.
Sorry, Barry, I thought you just contradicted yourself. You said that the owner, when they moved the benches, you said the owner was happy for them to be there.
Different owner, sorry, Dave. A different owner.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So I can't really tell you anymore, and if you ask me a question, I might be able to, but I don't know anymore. Okay?
And what are we...
Becky?
Sorry, what are we trying to decide?
Well, there were a number of residents, particularly one up the top of the road here, wanted them reinstated because it was taken away as a loss of amenity. And they shouldn't have done that. Well, in actual fact, they pretty well were within their rights to it. And, yeah. And the people concerned actually quoted one of our councillors as giving them permission to do it. And Mike, would you like to come in there?
Yeah, I mean, while Brian was off, I come on Facebook, so I just got on my bike, added some extra miles, and went down there and to see the situation, and I took some pictures, which I did forward through to the car, and asked, I think the plot that's particular on the seawall, I believe this person is the son, and he's moved down, I think, since March, living in a cottage nearby.
Of the original bench.
Right. Well,
grandson.
I highlighted, and I took some photographs, and as I'm taking the photographs, he just asked me, who are you? And he said, can I help you? And I goes, no, so I'm just taking photographs. And then I said, are you a counsellor? And I said, yes. At that point, I made no reference to owning anything, but I was told that I'd given permission, which I hadn't. All I highlighted was, since Brian then corresponded to investigate, we both know it's Isle of Wight Council land at the front of it. It's nothing to do with parish. Brian's been in communication with the Isle of Wight Council. And all I believe is, all we can say as a parish council, it's not under our responsibilities. The concern I highlighted with the gentleman at the time, with Eve Dolan's family, that the three benches were put together, my concern of coming down there was the coronavirus of having all the benches together. And that's what I was going to, that's why I've taken the photographs to go back to the parish. Talking to Brian from then, we then found out it was environmental officer of the Isle of Wight Council to be involved, and it should be via Reg Barry, who's the Isle of Wight councillor. And us as a parish, that's all we can really do. And I think Brian has done as much as he can. He's good friend.
I think, that's it. I think really that's the end of it. They're not going to move the benches back. According to them, they shouldn't have been there. There was no permission, and they've just moved them, you know. And I guess in a way, we're lucky that the neighbouring property has said, that's fine, put them in front of my wall. So, I think we've just got to live with that. And
I think we're lucky.
Social distancing, people know how to social distance, isn't it? They're not going to sit 2 or 3 on the same bench.
Yeah. Okay.
So, if we're all happy with that, Sally, would you like... Oh, sorry, Roy, beg your pardon. No, you're muted, Roy.
Hang on, I'll unmute you, Roy. It's got a big finger.
Because, yeah.
No, it's not working. It's not
unmuted. I think he's muted himself. Roy, you need to unmute yourself.
Here he comes. Yeah, we can hear you now, Roy.
Hi, Roy. Okay. Yeah, we got you.
Right. Down there, those three benches, there's only one that's secured, and that's the Pauline Watson bench. The other two are loose. They could be moved anywhere. They were riveted into the concrete, yeah. And it took some force to get them out. But the one that's still there, and that's not been attempted to move it, is the one that must have belonged to the Pauline Watson's family. I think that's the surname. So whatever happens, that one will stay. The other two could be moved anyway by anyone in any circumstances, even in a gale. It could be dangerous.
How about if when I have occasion to speak to the owner of that area and ask him if we could secure them permanently, spread apart a little bit, what do people think about that?
Well, if you went back to their original point, can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
The original point at the moment has been taken up by a canoe, which is about 8 foot long, and that takes up the space where the other two should have been.
To be there, which was the whole point of the current problem.
Yes.
Right. What do you do?
No, it's not actually. I say I could speak to the owner of the property next door and see if he would be conducive to actually have us secure them to the ground in maybe a slightly spread out area. He may be, or we might just have to live with it as it is.
Because the problem will be they'll be thrown about.
Well, of course, I think it was very selfish of the people not to at least have maybe contacted the family of these dedicated memorial benches and said, look, actually, we're thinking about moving this. But there we are.
The thing is, Barry, with the greatest respect, if it's not the people's place to put the bench there without the necessary position,
yeah.
I mean, Island Roads or whoever, I mean, if it was my land, I wouldn't be very pleased if someone's turned up and started bolting things, you know, at the front of my ass.
I totally agree. But it was the way that it's done, and they have been there for some considerable number of years, and the family have suddenly turned up and thought, oh, shift it. But there we are. It is what it is. So I can do that if I see him.
Okay.
Should we move on? Do you want to come in on the defunct disabled parking?
Yes. I don't know if other people have the same experience, but I live in Ride Road, and there's a disabled parking bay there, and there are three in the short bit of Stain Road that goes from Ride Road down around the corner that are no longer used. Now, I know white disabled parking bays are sort of advisory only, and in effect anyone can park in them. But I would like us to have a better idea of where our disabled parking spaces are and sort of manage it a bit. And when we know people have died or moved away, that they actually get blacked out again. And yeah. I think on our behalf, Brian approached the council, and they don't know really how many parking spaces that they've allocated in our parishes, do they?
No, it turns out that since 2013, when Island Roads took over the contract, they look after the database that records them. In their official data, obviously there's some bad data or a lack of data, they officially say that we have none in the parish that are currently valid, which I find amazing, because there's a one near Councillor Tucson's house that only got put in about a year ago. But according to Island Roads,
doesn't she park behind, in the yard behind?
No, she's not allowed to. We're not allowed to park in there.
No longer drives, does she?
Well, she does. She's just been in hospital, but she might do when she's better.
We've got one near us. The lady died, and it's defunct.
Any of that knowledge then, we could pass on to Brian. Yeah.
If you let me know, I can tell Island Roads, and they will black them out.
Okay.
My understanding of this is that if there is not something on the wall or on the pavement, they are not valid anyway. They haven't been allocated to anybody in particular, and therefore anybody can park in them. And we can just ask Island Roads to get rid of them. There are disabled parking spots in the car park, which
only disabled people can park in the ones on the road. You're not supposed to park without a disabled badge on the road when it says
you
disabled.
You can't.
My daughter's disabled and you can't.
Okay.
There's a fine of £70 if you do. People do, but you're not supposed to.
Okay. In which case, we need to get rid of them.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's one right in the middle of the shopping part of the village, which is daft. Especially because there are ones in the car park.
What I would ask is if people know them and see them, if you can send them even better with a photograph showing me, that really helps me when I'm forwarding them to Island Road, because it doesn't have to, but a photo would be brilliant as well. So if anyone's got any and can see any, please send them to me. Photos even better, and that helps me process them with Island Road. It helps them a lot with identifying them as well.
But how can we find out if they're still being used?
Sorry, Sally asked that we did a, what's the terminology, an audit. Maybe that's something that's, you know, maybe we can split it up between us and do various bits of the parish and do a proper audit rather than, because I could tell you where I know some are, but I think it's a good idea to do an audit, Sally.
Yeah, how can we find out if they're still being used though? Because, I mean, I'm not sure if the lady next door uses it or not.
I can tell you what happens is because I did talk to Island Roads about this quite a bit. What happens is when they're going to resurface a road, they have the same question. Or if someone challenges whether one is valid, they have the same thing. So what they do is they send a letter. If they have it on record who had it, in our case they don't. If not, they send letters to all the local residents in that area asking them to respond by a certain date that the disabled space is still needed.
And okay.
If they don't get that response, then they can go ahead with resurfacing and not putting it back or blacking it out.
Okay,
so
that's
basically,
good.
Basically, yeah, they send a letter out and they proactively, once it's identified as an issue, they proactively try and contact the people living near it. So,
okay.
I hope that helps.
Yeah,
happy with that? We'll all put a bit of intelligence in as we know it.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Mike's just wet his whistle, which would be ideal, because, Mike, are you going to come in on the Eddington Road thing?
Fine. Thank you. As you know, the members, we had a Zoom meeting last week with Paul Thomas and his colleague. Brian attended, and a few of us also did. I think it's improving where we're going. That's all I can say is that at the end of the day, I called for this particular meeting because we had lockdown and a lot of the Isle of Wight council officers have been sidetracked because of the coronavirus, understandably. And therefore, a lot of decisions have been put on the back burner. But my concern was is that we were due for a meeting with Chris Ashman, the director of regeneration, which we'd pre-booked for about March 4 April. And as we know, that got postponed. And I just emphasised at the last parish meeting that we needed to keep in contact with them. And that's why we got the Zoom meeting. Because of my work commitment, we scheduled it to 2 o'clock, and that's why Paul Thomas chaired on behalf of the Isle of Wight Council. To be fair, he's the one that is designated for it because he came to our meeting in December when he just joined the Isle of Wight Council from Bournemouth Council. So we'll be under his remit. At the Zoom meeting, I mean, his emphasis was... What we're going to look at is, like us, we're the councillors, Brian, our clerk, is the officer. With the Isle of Wight Council, he's the officer that's putting the report in. As we know, the written area, the previous one, as we could see from our view, had our own agenda. Paul's got his part of agenda, but he has to comply with the policies. And from that, there was a bit of friction highlighting that, well, we should be going, you know, this has been going on for five years now, and we just go from one pillar to another. It's the idea, what he was saying, is in some parts, as an officer, he's got to comply with the rules and go for tendering, etc., with this housing associations, where we know the bigger ones aren't interested, where Vectis is the one that have been negotiating with the parish and listening to the parish needs. Since then, I do know, and some of it I've got to keep careful because I better say declared interest from the past of Vectis Housing Association, although I stepped down in September. But I do know that the councillors and the cabinet of the Isle of Wight Council are now wishing to be linked involved with us. It's just getting them to prioritise it with their officer. So all I would say is, I'd like to thank Brian for actually writing a letter to Paul, thanking for the meeting, because it was hard. We were all having, in some sense, a go at him, one person against one, so all of us against one. And I think, you know, the fact that Brian thanked him for the meeting, the important part is Isle of Wight Council land. They don't have to come to us, they can just make a decision. But thankfully, we are getting the link and the talking discussions so that we get something that is the right houses if there's on the numbers, if it, hopefully, and the right need for regenerating for the younger for employment. And I think we're now getting much closer. And all I'd like to propose is that whether it's designated by the chairman and vice chairman and myself with the clerk, that we put a letter together to assure that we link with the cabinet members of the Isle of Wight Council and the officers of the Isle of Wight Council, so that hopefully they'll listen to us and then come up with a proposal that can be presented to us as a parish, which, if we walk carefully with it, tread carefully, I think we could achieve something.
Can I just hold you there a minute, Mike? I'll come back to you. Diane, you want to say something?
Yeah, and it's been going on for quite a long time, hasn't it? And I can't remember. Have we done, we've been talking about asking residents. Have we definitely spoken to all the residents that live down there and make sure that's what they want to happen?
Mike?
We haven't actually done that, but what we have had is a lot of the residents have been, I mean, especially a lot of them along there have actually, well, some have come in pleas that they've attended our past parish meetings in seeing that, you know, we're trying to talk on their behalf.
I'm just so double checking because you know that the conversation we had earlier about engaging with the residents.
But until we've got what I'm saying, what I mean is we're now getting to a point where we still haven't got something concrete.
Okay.
From what I mean is we haven't got anything concrete. All we've had is what the worst part happened. Is that we were talking with Vectis coming to the parish, and then all of a sudden the Isle of Wight Council decided with the regeneration department that this land could make money for them.
And yeah, I know that. I remember all of that. Correct. I was there. I'm just making sure that we are engaging.
That now has gone on, and it looks like it's gone on the back burner because all of a sudden interest rates have gone up on the project they could be doing, so it's not actually survivable. So all I'm saying is by the way we're negotiating, at this present time, no proper plan is on the table. So as long as we can keep communicating with them, and then if we see what the plan they've got, then immediately, I agree with you, Diane, is we then emphasise to Eddington Road,
Yeah. Okay, fine. Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Any more on that? No?
I'd just like to say, I think Diane has got very valid points there, because I do know from the involvement with Gidwell Field again that there's going to be certain residents down there that are going to be very, very unhappy regardless of what goes on there. It's, I don't know the answer to that one. I think all we can do is, in fairness to both Mike and Diana, because it's got to be addressed, I think as soon as we can get something a bit more concrete from the Isle of Wight Council, and I'm happy to do it, go and canvass some people, and if we want some feedback, I'm happy to go walk along there and bang on the doors and, you know, with whatever form we've got drawn up and get some opinions or blank form and just voice some opinions. But I think it'd be nice to just give them something and say, look, this is what's being put on the table. And just let them know what's going on. Just keep them informed.
I agree.
I must admit, the quite a few council meetings I had over the few years when we were still talking about Eddington Road before the Isle of Wight came to have dropped a bomb on us, I can't think of a single person that ever came to our meetings objecting about Eddington Road. In fact, I only had some decent comments. Yes. Anybody?
I do know, like with David, I do know a couple that we'll do. But I think what we've got to remember is that Isle of Wight Council did come to our meeting, and as you may remember, I put some bullet points highlighting that she hadn't done her proper research. And all you've got to think of is that was talking about 80 on that site. They own the lands, and therefore what we're going to think is they can still ignore us. So if we can keep chipping away at them, and then hopefully try and get as much as we can that will suit the residents up that area.
I think it's getting as few as possible on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what will make the residents happy. It's thought of having, you know, the more squeezed in, lots and lots and lots. That's what I've heard people don't want, which is why Vectis would be so good.
Well, I think the main concern really is that Isle of Wight Council proposal was a maximum of 80. It was a joint venture with a PLC company, which therefore meant once it's all developed, it's an unknown management company that'll be running it with no experience on the island, and half the profit going to PLC company. And where what you want is a combination of it being built suitable for the area, but also sensibly managed in a way for understanding island people, more importantly, the village people.
Mike?
Yeah.
Wasn't there some industrial units, some workplaces to put on the Vector scheme?
Well, that's what I'm looking at in bringing employment to the area. That's right.
Yeah, regeneration for people and jobs.
Yes.
It's better than houses.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else got any more comments on it? No? Okay. No?
Okay. Can I have a proposal that myself, chairman and vice chairman, liaise with Brian to get a suitable letter?
Yeah. Okay. Anybody
want to second that? I'll second that. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Is that unanimous?
Yeah, Sally agrees.
Okay, lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Doku. So, correspondence, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. I think I've got anything too much new to read. I've got several letters here from Rosemary, a resident of St. Helens. A few of them are about, you'll have seen them, I forwarded them to you. They're basically bringing up things around the Harcourt Sands development. It's all information for you councillors to look at over time and to consider. Another thing she did bring up, and I forwarded it to all of you, was she had noticed that a planning application for Vaughan and Page's land that had been put forward in January, which we actually gave a neutral response to, and we wanted to find out more information about the use of the land. And then we then did revisit and said we might approve things happening on that land if we could make sure that nothing residential was happening. Well, she'd noticed that that application hadn't gone forward, and as a result, I did contact the planning officer, Vicky Kemp, who just for information, that planning application is now in abeyance, and actually, because the Isle of Wight Council are still waiting for quite a bit of information from the applicants, and until they get that information, then the application won't go forward, so there'll have to be new applications for that. So that was quite interesting. That's something that we'd asked some questions about before. Those questions still remain a bit unanswered and will have to be reapplied for. We've seen information there from residents, so an application to that street trading license we've seen. I did get a response from Superintendent Sarah Jackson about letters about lockdowns. Actually, the rules have been relaxed since then. And she's just emphasising, as always, that with the police, they were going more for education rather than enforcement, with trying to recommend what people should do in the event of lockdown, and actually saying they couldn't actually enforce social distancing and things like that. Had a letter of thanks from Mr Grillo acknowledging cooperation from the parish council with work that actually the football club did, but we've got that. And the last thing, you would have all seen it, we got sent a letter from a lady, Mrs. Patsy, I think, Gash, who wrote about the footpath in front of the, what do you call them? Beach huts. The beach huts at Putpool, and talked about how dangerous it is walking along there and all that kind of thing. And as a result of it, she did ask if we'd consider contacting the island council about getting some signs put up, and I have contacted Rights of Way and Island Road. Island Roads have informed me it's nothing to do with them, but I'm hoping that Rights of Way might be able to put up some no cycling signs, and I've also asked them actually to look into putting cyclist dismount signs down by Seagrove Dell. That's the end of the correspondence for this month. So there we are. So any questions about that before we move on to finances? Where's Barry gone?
Just about that cycling, Brian. Yes. At the ride end of Putpool, because that is actually the cycle route is through the fort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So maybe there's we could put a sign up there that reinforces and say this way, not along the seafront.
There is actually a sign. But it's
the one there.
Yes. There is a sign at the end that tells you to cycle up there, and then what I've asked for is another, if you've chosen to ignore that and carry on, what I've asked for is a sign on that footpath that says no cycling here. You shouldn't be on your bike here, because there is the one, like Mike says, that tells you should go through the park, and obviously people must ride past and ignore that. So there's been another one that you can't ignore, because it's a narrow little path before you're going to mow everybody down. And that's for a sign there. But I haven't had a response yet. So they're normally quite good. I know one of the things I did hear actually is that things like Rights of Way team has been redeployed a lot, and they're sort of coming out of their hibernation. Well, it's not hard, but they've been working hard for doing stuff for COVID-19. So hopefully more members of that team will be coming back now. So you'll see more hedge trimming and all that kind of other stuff happening as a result of that. So hopefully.
All right.
Reporters. Science. You've all seen the receipts and payments. Any questions about those?
You get a wheelbarrow. On the Ventnor, what's the Ventnor RC?
Yeah, so basically that's the Wallgate units that we have in our public toilets. When the Isle of Wight Council used to run all the toilets, they had so many, they got a special discount. And then when the parish and town councils all took them over, they all had individual contracts with Wallgate and all had to pay more. And then actually Ventnor Town Council had the clever idea of why don't we represent everybody all over again and get that discount back. So that's why we...
Perfect. No, that's fine.
Ventnor Town Council, yeah. They do the work. I think it gets about 20% off.
Good, yeah, yeah. Well done.
So, yeah, good on them. So that's great. Good question as well. That's fresh from today as well. That bill finally came in. But all of our Wallgate units and both our toilets are covered by that. So that's good. So you've got that peace of mind. They get checked every year. Service, and if something goes wrong, we've got some recourse to get some work done with that. There were no grant applications this month. You'll all have seen earlier, I sent you around the details of, because I have had my performance appraisal, and it was a successful appraisal by our standards, which means I wasn't thrown into the Solent or beaten up by the chair and vice chair. I get to go from pay point 11 to pay point 12 on the national scale.
We didn't pollute the Solent.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to pollute it, no. But feel free to go and look it up and have excitement looking at what that means.
Because the solar mitigation payment.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's a good point, Dave. Good point, yeah. Yeah, you thought it was bad when people were stuck chucking bleach in it. You wait till they see me in it. And you all, last week, you'd have seen the income and expenditure report up to the end of last month as well. So if anyone had any questions about that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, yes, thank you.
The next bit, which is the end bit, has anybody got anything they want to bring to the attention of the council? Broken something? Missing something?
Sally does.
Can I do it in the order I've got on the screen? So, busy.
No.
Mike.
No, thank you.
Dave.
No, thanks.
Trish. Becky.
No.
Diane.
No.
Roy.
No.
Hey.
don't forget Sally, because she has.
Oh, Sally.
Oh, sorry. No.
I'm sorry, Sally.
Thank you.
So Sally can wait.
There's a song.
Yes, it is, yeah.
My request is, could the parish council clear the big boulders and rocks that have been brought in by the different tides and winds at Newell's Slip, because that's the public slipway that is used by swimmers and people taking tenders and little rowing dinghies and paddle boards and all sorts. And it's just so difficult to enter the sea or come out of the sea because of the surface with the boulders. And my brother-in-law, Richard Rivlin, is doing that house up, and he's got a digger. And if you were happy, he would let his men do that job, but they would probably want a little bit of something for it.
Sorry, ignorant. Whereabouts is that?
Newell's Slip, the bottom of the High Street.
Bottom of the High Street. No, Crane Slip's the other way.
Because I was going to say, because that's meant to be looked after, but there is a coastal team that are meant to look after that. We can contact them and ask them to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Do that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sally. Anybody else got any thing?
Sorry, can I go? Sally, how do you spell that slip? I've not heard of that name for it before.
N-E-W-E-L-L-S.
The very old
apostrophe S.
Yes.
Apostrophe S.
Named after my neighbour.
Right.
Well, named after his father, but yeah.
His father, all right.
They're a long time, the Newells, haven't they?
Yeah.
Boat builders. I used to work with the Newell. Right, so if that's it, then there's my virtual gavel. thank you very much. Good meeting, and see you next time.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Good night.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.